It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I was ordering food.
Fine. Yes, yes, you were. You were ordering food for two people and just one person in the car. Yeah, I know.
I'm embarrassed, all right? It was my cheat day.
Yeah. So when Thursdays are your cheat day, huh? Just Thursdays.
It's deadlift day.
Oh.
Right, because it's more muscle tissue, so you can have more fat on that
day. Kevin,
don't scientifically.
Kevin, sorry, I get it. Sure. Right. I get it.
All right,
you're not going to be the mom in this one. Okay. Take the apron strings off.
You're not. Thank God, be like, no,
well,
problem.
Dear,
okay, yeah.
He's trying hard, dear. Like, no, there'll be no Mama Kev today. You let him sit in his
problem.
Fried all right. Chicken eating mother. Trying to tell us this is cheat day. We're not even going to have it's the wise men. Dun, dun, dun. You guys got all that recorded.
And we're back.
Yes, have they hit record yet?
Yeah, they've been recording. We're all in there. We're all in there.
So wait a minute. That's on the air? My fast food addiction's on the air?
Yeah.
That's what you're worried about out of all these
I was just trying to speak a scientifically a tiny bit, but it did come off momish, though.
Yeah, well, it's super momish, man.
Yeah, my bad.
Yeah, you did.
My bad, yep.
You're always like Aaron's surrogate mom. Like, I get on him, and then Kevin jumps in, you know, like, hey.
Well, yeah. Guy, we believe in healing, yeah.
Can we cut the wound first, though? Do we got to band-aid him up before the whooping? Come on, man.
If it's any consolation, the lady could not add a biscuit, so I just drove off, and I am now foodless. I have no food. I'm going to go home.
Because she didn't have a biscuit?
But that means you can cut the deadlift down a little bit then, right?
I swear to God, Aaron. Hey, just so you know, Aaron, next time I see you, I got a two-piece for you, okay? With all the fixings.
Well, just a biscuit. That's
you're going to get a biscuit.
Thank you.
Oh, man. So, well, first off, man, I have to say, this is kind of like, I know we're, I love the fact that we're always joking around and stuff, but so I've been talking to Kevin Nash the last couple of weeks, and we have a really cool big brother relationship, and he was actually going to be a guest this week on the show, but obviously.
Oh, man, yeah.
For obvious reasons, and I got to just say, I mean, I just feel like saying prayers and condolences just isn't enough.
Not even close.
With the exception of Aaron, everyone here has a son, and the idea of outliving my son terrifies me. I just, you know, I can't even fathom.
That's not the natural order, bro. We're supposed to bury our parents. Like, that's the natural order.
I don't, you know, Kevin's a special guy, you know, and probably one of the most mentally toughest people I ever met, but I just don't know how you come back from it. And I guess, you know, it's just the horrible thing you have to go through to get it, you know. I don't think we'll ever get it, but deeply, deeply sorry for his loss, his family's loss.
Yes.
You know, whatever the circumstances are, I haven't heard, but I don't care what the circumstances is.
Nope.
Horrible. And I really hope that he's able to get through this in some way, but I wouldn't even know how to begin, you know? And then you always think...
No, and I was going to say no, because when I saw it on Twitter, my first instinct was to just text him and be like, Kevin, I am so... But, I mean, how do you even... Right, like, what he's going through right now? I opted not to, because there's really... Like, what do you even say? Like, so you kind of justified my decision to hold off, but...
Even when you have kids, you don't know what to say.
Yeah, I just
you automatically go to your kids and you start thinking about.
That's a great point.
You start, you know, you go back to, oh my God, how thankful I am that my children are healthy and they're here with me, and like it. I pray to God that none of us ever have to go through.
Amen.
What he's going through, because. Yeah. Again, like you said, bro, like that's an unimaginable pain, and it's definitely not the natural order of things.
No, you know, and not to say that wrestlers deserve an extra, you know, form of sorrow or pity or anything like that, but we spend most of our lives on the road, and we miss a lot, and immediately makes me think of my all my children, not just my son, but all my children. And, you know, for a perfect example, my son hit a home run last night. And at practice, his coach basically bet him dinner. And if you hear the video, somebody owes CLC dinner. And, you know, and I watched it last night and I was laughing. And I think I sent it to Trevor and A-Ribe.
Yeah.
And because I'm proud. And the day I found myself crying looking at it because I wasn't there. You know, and it's one of those things where, like, the price you pay for that 7 to 8 minutes you're out there on average, you don't realize how much of a bill it is until something tragic happens. And you think what you gave up for chasing that brass ring, for being in the business, the sport that we're in, is how much you lose and how much you can never get back. And it just really makes you put things in perspective. And it by no means am I trying to take anything away from what Kevin, because all focus and positive vibes should be going to him and his family. But it really makes you think about the sacrifices that you make. And sometimes just being real, selfishly make. You know, you got to keep your spot. But sometimes is the spot worth what you're missing out on? I guess is what I'm trying to say. And, you know, there's that old adage, you can't have it all, but it just sucks when you lose it all, you know?
Yeah. And I'll be honest with you too, like with what we were talking about last week, right? And I was giving reasons, why I never had kids, but I see what you guys go through. And I'll be very honest, I do not know if I have the strength to do that. And that really is the major reason, because, like, you know, I've chosen this lifestyle and, you know, I've tried to be the best friend I can to everybody. But, like, I don't know if I have what it takes to do that, which is, again, and I know you guys had kids before you got in the business and everything.
No, I didn't.
And again, well, OK, but you've used this because you felt right. And Trevor, you too, right? Like, this was a great way to provide an amazing life for your family and afford them opportunities that otherwise they would not have. Correct?
100%.
And who can blame you guys for that? So, like, I don't think you guys should feel guilty for that. And yes, I think at some level, because when we're in it as much as we are, you know, yeah, we want to get that top spot and everything. And we can say selfishly, but knowing you guys the way I do and having traveled with you guys and spend time, you know, in your homes and, you know, with your families a little bit, that is not who either of you are. And I know that's not who Kevin is. And
no, he had, you know, great stories about his son all the time. You know, he was telling me a story. His son kept borrowing his shoes, his tennis shoes.
Mm.
And he knew his son was borrowing his tennis shoes because his shoes stunk to high heaven.
Wait till they start stealing your underwear, because you guys are the same size and you come back to go find your clothes missing. And I go, son, have you been wearing my underwear? And he goes, well, I ran out. And I said, well, usually most people take it to the wash when they run
most
out.
Most people. Not
start, yeah, but not my boy. He just wears his old man's underwear because they fit.
You got to think, too, like what you said, like you know, we're all grown men, right? And as we evolve,
it's the business we're in,
but as we evolve, we want families. You know, it's in our heart to have families, and we look. I know, the schedule that we were keeping at times, Tyrus in WWE was a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it was a lot, and the wrestling, the sports entertainment business, does demand a lot. But you know, if there's a way, you know, to change that, you know what I mean? To balance that, to allow more time here or more time there, or I don't know if there's, you know, we did a lot of house shows while we were there, things like that. But you're right, it's a give and take process, right? And you always seem to kind of be on one side or the other of it, you know?
Well, and I don't know if it's because of home life for the guys or not, but isn't, like, WWE does have a lighter schedule, I believe, now.
Oh,
I know,
okay.
COVID changed a lot of that. Right. But I'm with you, Kevin. Like, I remember going on, you know, the 5-day runs, coming home for a day, 2 days, be back out. And that was basically 4 years of my whole life.
Right.
And so I think at the least, after COVID really helped that, and guys are starting to get that, but it's still not enough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For me, I didn't have the greatest childhood. And so when I decided that when I was going to be a parent, I wanted to make sure my kids had more than I ever thought about having. And that was one of the driving motivations to be successful in pro wrestling.
Yeah, because it comes back down at the end to, like, you want to be able to provide. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's big. That's a massive part of this, I believe, you know.
Especially, I live in a small town where opportunities are not plethorable, and the opportunities that are here are, you know, you're looking at minimum wage, and you're talking about making $20 an hour, which is great money.
Yeah.
But when you want to obviously get ahead in life, you need you need more than that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's wrestling has provided that.
Yeah.
Partially for my family.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the other thing about wrestling that is so amazing. You know, there's a lot of people that are invested in wrestling. It's a great, you know, it's a great, great business to be a part of. But yeah, you do the schedule does, it will take a toll on you, but on the other side, there's a lot to be had and it provides a really good life, or can. So, yeah.
Yeah. You know, speaking of, so last week when I went to visit my son, and we were in the elevator going up to our hotel room, out the corner of my eye, I noticed he was sizing me up. And I started giggling.
Yeah.
And I said, "You ain't there yet, bro." And my son said, "Getting close, though." I'm like,
yeah.
How big is he?
He's
getting there.
He's about, I think he's around
linebacker
almost 10 and a half now.
Wow.
He's 11 years old, man.
Yeah,
he's
11,
yeah.
Man.
But,
crazy.
I just looked at him and gave him a mug, and I'm like, even if you end up taller than me, you'll never be meaner than me.
Okay.
You understand? You understand? Yeah.
There's a little pride there for you.
He started smiling. I said, "I raised you. That you don't have to be what I am."
Right. So, right. Well, yeah. Well, we're all different, right? Yeah.
You know? I eat human flesh. So, you understand me?
Right.
We don't want this. You don't want this.
Was to make sure that his struggles aren't your struggles,
and
his.
Yeah.
He gets ahead in life.
He's just laughing because everything I say to my kids is funny, like even when I'm being serious, you know. And it was like later that night, we're laying in bed. He says, "You ate people, Dad?" I said, "Don't ask me about my business, son. Good night."
We were on a nature walk the other day, and all of my fiance and then my son turn around. All of a sudden, they start running away. They hear something in the woods.
Left you for dead.
And boom, they're gone, and they're running fast. And I'm trying to catch them, and clearly it was some kind of wild animal they saw, and they took off running. They're like, go. And I'm running, and I'm trying to catch them, and I'm trying to keep up. And at one point, I stopped, and I turned around, and I said, "You know what? Whatever's behind us, just take me." And let them go. And so I stopped and I turned around, and we were about 150 feet into the run or whatever down the nature path, and there was nothing there, thank God, and I survived. But you know, that's what it is, right?
You better than me.
Sacrifice.
I'd have talked about their ass the whole car ride home. Y'all couldn't say, nothing. Look out.
Right.
Just took off running.
Right. Yeah. So that's
I didn't raise you to, you know, at least
right,
say, look
to
out,
leave
Dad.
Me in the woods.
Yeah. It's a bear.
Right.
Give me a heads up. Let me know what I'm dealing with.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's when your resume starts coming out to the face. Oh, he's a wrestler. He can handle himself.
Oh, right.
But even if I'm walking with Chuck Norris in the woods, man, and I'll be like,
the way they turned, they were gone. And they were gone about 50 feet. I said, "What in the hell?" And they go, "Run. It's a deer or a bear or something." And then I got about 50 feet, and I finally was like, "You know what? I'm just going to turn around on my face." And there was nothing there, but yeah, it was good. It was very funny.
You know, you just, and I don't want to stay on this too long because, again, I just can't imagine what he's going through now.
Right.
And quite frankly, I wouldn't even want to.
Yeah.
You know, loss is a part of life, but it just, when it's out of order.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we all, sometimes, you know, you just don't think about one day, your day is coming, and you just hope it's,
yeah,
further than right. nearer, right? Yep. But yep. your goal is to, you know, you kind of go out like Yoda. You know what I'm saying? Where you're laying on the bed and you're surrounded and your son right. asks you a question.
Right.
You know, right. and I'll,
it's, yeah,
you know,
I mean,
and I get to say, no, I'm still tougher serious. Than you. You know, you'll never beat me.
That's like not a competition. Bitch,
yeah, I'll thumb wrestle you right now. Let's go.
Yeah,
you
know, I ain't going out
remember
like
bitch,
me.
you know, but you hope, you know, but that's the reality. Is it's for most, you know, and it makes me just when you think about stuff, because there was, you know, I remember when the Andre documentary came out, and I remember crying watching it because I was so angry. And just and for me to get emotional because it was such a like forced documentary, in my opinion. And you got to know a little bit about him, but none of his real friends were on there. And that bothered me.
Yes. Right. Yes.
That really bothered me. You know, Haku wasn't on there. The guys he played, Tim White was the most legit thing on there. And Tim White was one of the most kindest human beings.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
I mean, he just was an amazing person.
Yep.
And he loved Andre.
I've never heard
dearly.
Anybody say anything bad about him.
You can't.
Yeah, he's a saint.
You really,
guy.
You really can't.
Yeah.
You can't.
I cried when he died.
That one hit me in the chest. Yeah. It hit me in the chest a little bit. And what there is a picture, and I keep it in my phone to remind myself, if I ever have that look, it's time to get away from it, because I really believe Andre died of a broken heart in a hotel room.
Yeah. Well, we all kind of do in a way, though, right? Yeah.
And that's the business.
Yeah.
When it chews you out.
Yeah.
Because I think of him a lot since we don't have a special guest today, we'll talk about Andre. But I think of him a lot as Babe Ruth. The same kind of dynamic.
Yeah.
He reshaped the history of this business. He is one of the reasons why we're all in this business. You cannot have the rise of wrestling without Andre the Giant. Right. He was the eighth wonder of the world. And Babe Ruth was the same thing.
Yeah.
He was, there was nothing like him. And there has never been anything like him. Now, and at the end, all he wanted to do was be a manager. Right. Babe just wanted to be a part of the business. But the business didn't want Babe. You know, all the things that made him Babe Ruth, they didn't like anymore. And Andre wanted to always be a part of the business. And then the business didn't want him anymore. And they sent him away from something that he thought he was always going to be a part of. And I think that type of heartbreak does kind of just deteriorate you in a way, because we've all gone through it. You know,
you've got to have that.
Yeah.
If you're in this business and you're 100%, you have to be that way. You know what I mean? And you're going to feel that way when it doesn't want you. It's almost like a scorned lover.
Yeah. You know, and I think, to a smaller degree, if everyone's being honest with themselves, when you get fired, the first thing you do is you deny it and you act like it was the best thing that ever happened because they were holding you down, or whatever you have to say.
Right. Whatever you had
those days.
Sure, sure.
Then I would say about 3 weeks in, when you're alone and you start thinking, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Like, how are you going to function?
Right.
Are you ever going to be in that ring again?
Yeah.
You know, and you go out to that first indie show and it's nothing like what,
you're right.
You know, there's just, it's just.
Boys, can I tell you what my first indie show was right after getting let go? You guys ever heard of a promoter, Ian Rotten?
I feel like,
Yeah, in Louisville. Yeah, I wrestled a lot for him on the indies when he booked me. So he called me as soon as I got let go. And I was like, yeah, you're a good promoter. You've always taken care of me. I know I'm going to get paid. He gives me the address. And I didn't do my due diligence on where it was at or what it was. But it ended up being a bowling alley. And the show was outside in the parking lot. Right. with blue tarps wrapped around the parking lot to block viewers that are driving by to watch the show. And my locker room was the same bathroom that the bowlers that were bowling while the show was going on was using. And that was my first match after leaving WWE. And I almost said,
right. And that feeling though, done. Right? Yeah. Right.
Oh, it was the worst. I was driving home. I had a 5-hour drive home. I was like, I'm done. I quit the business. Like, this is horrible. I can't go back to this. I can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's,
tough, man. Yeah. It's like, tough to get out of that and go into something like that.
Sorry, go ahead. I was just going to say the best way I could always ever describe it is people, what's the difference? What's it like? And I say the energy slows down, like life slows down, right? You're living on such like a beautiful euphoric high of being in front of people, traveling, being an artist, because really that's what it is, in my opinion. You know, it's physical, it's a sport, but it's also moving art. You know, and that's a side of your brain, I think, that is a great thing. When you can use that as a career and a living, it's a real gift. You know, it really becomes a gift. And then when I got released, I was, I believe, 36, right? Or 35. I was 35, and I had done it, really. I had really started doing it right after college, and I had given all of that time to it. So 14 years, maybe, I was really obsessed with it. And I really gave everything I could to it. And then when I was 35, I was like, oh my gosh, God, right? I was like, what am I going to do now? Right? Because it was all of my time in my, you know, those are big earning years, right? And still certainly now we want to earn and you know, these are great years too, but they both were, you know, that was 15 years. And when I left, I was like, oh, and I had the most nervous panic, right? Because I was like, what am I going to do now? And I think, but that's why I think it's great now that there's so many companies to go to.
We'll be back with much more after this.
Now, if I could get real with you for a second. Now, listen, when I turned 40, I started to notice a little decline in my aggressiveness in the gym. And I started to feel the effects of aging and feeling a little inadequate. So Nugenix came along and gave me a free bottle. And I tried it. And I noticed results immediately. I just felt stronger, more confident. You started seeing results back in the gym. You got to try that Nugenix Total T. I swear by it. It is phenomenal. Nugenix Total T Testosterone Booster with Tesnor will help you turn back the clock and re-energize your life. Prove it to yourself. Try Nugenix Total T before you buy. There's nothing to lose and everything to gain. New energy, muscle, drive, and even more passion. Get your complimentary sample when you text 231-231 and enter the keyword Tyrus, and that's TY. Y-R-U-S. Now get your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T when you text 231-231 and enter the keyword Tyrus. Text now and get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, the newest and most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you lose fat fast and get lean fast. Absolutely free. Text 231-231 and enter keyword Tyrus. Text 231-231 and enter the keyword Tyrus.
Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply. Number one doctor recommended brand by primary care physicians based on an independent survey conducted by IQVIA 2022.
There's the other aspect to the Andre thing is he can't hide.
Right.
And I can relate to that a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, certain athletes like myself, right. Big Show, Mark Henry, we're, I don't want to use the term freaks, but we stand out. Whether we want to or not.
Yeah.
Like you can't hide.
You're large human.
You guys
being.
Are larger than and when your persona is larger than life,
right.
I can't just put a hat on forward and a pair of sunglasses and go out and be normal.
Right.
It's like people remind you every day.
Yeah, that's why
and they always have say the same shit.
Yeah.
How do you get fired? If I was you, I'd be a millionaire.
Right. They do.
And you just want to say
absolutely do, man.
You're not
well they okay? literally say
you're that. Not you know
yeah
and
yeah,
well, and it's hey, like but now it will eat at you to the point where you will start lying to strangers right. just so you don't lose your mind
right
Right.
Like, oh yeah, yep. I'm in between. I wanted to film movies, so you know,
yeah.
I told him.
Yeah.
You like, and then you're like, yep. Why am I explaining to these
right.
people?
Why am I so defensive? Yeah.
Because yeah. I'm not. I am of the same mindset. How could they have fired me?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
right.
Because
yeah.
being 6'8" and at one time a biscuit away from 400, not right. not anymore. Thank you very little. but no matter what, the leaner I get, the more my traps stand out over my ears.
Right.
I chose the tattoos, so I can't yep. really blame anybody for that one.
I chose.
You know what I'm saying? But everything else, I just couldn't get away from it. Right. I just always ask, why weren't you heavyweight champion? Why weren't you this? Like,
right.
look at you.
Yeah.
I'm like, no. Well, maybe you should be a writer. You know, like
right.
you.
Right. There, well, there's nowhere yeah. to go in that space too, and yeah. they and it does happen. You
and
know, it
sometimes,
happens on repeat.
Yeah,
yep.
and you're just and but then the echoes don't stop right. when you get home.
Yeah,
and they don't.
yeah.
And then it's the ones who are trying to be closest to you
right.
that get the venom.
Right.
Because yep. they'll make a mistake like, yep. well, hey, why don't you take this booking in Japan? And it's like, don't tell me what to do. I'm not your freak. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Right,
like,
right, right.
And you become so paranoid
yeah.
and so depressed.
Yeah, yeah.
That
yeah.
like, because it's the talents, like you, it takes more to be big to right. be a WWE superstar right. or NWA star, AEW or yep. Impact. It, you just can't fill out the resume. You got to actually be able to go.
Right.
And but the price for that is that once you get in front of that camera, once you become a Funkasaurus or an Andre the Giant or a Big Show or whatever, the yeah. camera is never going to turn off.
Right.
Whether yeah. you like it or not. People are going to stop
you. And how people view you.
Yes.
How yeah. people view you is never the same. Right. And now look, I love my family very much, but I have not been home in 3 years.
Wow.
Because yeah. eventually when I left WWE, you know, and I went to LA acting thing, whatever, you know, and acting isn't the same as wrestling to where like when you're like when we were on WWE TV, we were seen in millions of homes.
Right.
You know, you're in front of 10,000-15,000 people every week. And, you know, you're on TV twice a week. Right. It's yeah. it's a big deal. And then with acting, and I just did the thing where I didn't look like I did. I wanted to completely start over. Where I didn't look like I did when I was Sandow. I had a different name.
Yeah.
And I said, I want to learn this from the ground up. And then I would go home and then like people, excuse me, in my family really close to me would ask these questions that I would be like, why are you insulting me like this? And they would like take what I thought were these little digs.
Right. Right.
And yeah, I mean, all the while some of my family members were still asking me for money. Which wasn't, you know.
yeah, well, that yeah. goes without saying. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, we do.
I'll pay you back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pay me back in what? Spades?
yeah. like, I couldn't deal with it. And I've never admitted this out loud, really. But I think I can relate kind of to what you were talking about, Tyrus, because, and you know my town, right? Like, it's a very small town. My uncle's the mayor. I can't go anywhere there without, oh, hey, you know, what's going on? Why haven't you done this? Why haven't you done this? And I remember one time I actually got hot. My uncle Mike had me go over to some guy's house. He was an older guy that was a fan. I met him and his son, who was like in his 40s or 50s, right? And of course there was 20 people at the house, right? Which we've all been involved in these things, right? Like we're, right? You guys know what I'm talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, I usually yeah. avoid him like the plague, but yeah.
One person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he came up to me and he says, so, hey, what do the top guys really make?
Yeah.
Like, what are the real top? And I looked at him and I wanted to yeah. put his face through the wall.
Because he unknowingly just told you that you weren't.
You weren't.
You're not a top
yeah,
guy.
Knowing,
yeah.
But I was
like, without yeah, knowing that's what he most, did.
Yeah.
He,
and
yeah,
you're the
and
most famous
know.
Person he's ever met.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, you know what? Hey, as far as I know, I got top guy reactions. So that's all I did. And I like walked out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but no, here's the thing. When you have an iconic character that's bigger than life, it's the same as being 7 feet tall or right. tatted up with giant traps. Like, it's the same thing. Sandow was the intellectual savior,
yeah,
and
the,
he
yeah.
had everybody, every he had people of all ages walking around with robes and towels for Halloween. Like, it was an epic thing. And then right. the thing is, like, when you hit lightning in the bottle, okay, and I feel Sandow did that. When there's no payoff for the fans who were fearlessly behind him, and to the point where, with very few exceptions, he was getting cheered more than he was getting booed because he was just over. They love to see him get his ass kicked, and they love to see him talk trash. And then they love to see him turn the gears up and put hands on people. They wanted to be talked down to by Sandow. Like, they got off on it.
Absolutely.
They got off
and
on it. Like, Sandow called me an idiot, right?
Right. Yep.
He had that shirt, was the evolution of man. Yep. And at the end it was Sandow. And like, they wanted to be the Neanderthal that he picked on.
Yeah.
And here's this guy.
That's over though. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, next level.
Yep.
And here he is. He's got money in the bank, and their guy, who they love to hate, and probably not since Stone Cold had they loved to hate somebody so much, and they never got the payoff. So then, when he's not there anymore, as soon as they see him, they want to know, one, what happened, and two, what did he do?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like he doesn't get a break, because they're like, well, you clearly failed. How come you didn't win the championship? Nobody wants to discuss that.
Right.
Funkasaurus, you never held a title in the WWE. And my best go back is I was co-champions with Kofi Kingston in Brazil for 2 days. Kiss my ass.
There you go.
I have a photo.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
And yes, Aaron's going to talk about a kid tried to touch my belt. And I said, take your damn hands off my belt, kid. Language barrier. But the thing was, though, just the fact that I had to say that shows how much it eats me up. You know, now I'm in a different place. But when you get to that point, and I think Trevor was in a tag team that reached the top, and he was the tag team champion, and you can never take that away from him. There's a certain, no matter what happened after that, at one period of time, he was recognized as the best at what he does in a tag team. So and I'm not saying your road wasn't tougher life after. I'm not saying that at all, Trevor.
No,
but there is a certain moment of all my work has paid off.
Yeah.
And I don't think Sandow ever got that. Funkasaurus never got that.
No,
A-Rai never got
that. Still looking for it, though.
Yeah.
People don't know how out of, out of control.
It's not in our hands.
Right. And that's what I was going to say. Do any of us really know?
Like,
what at that moment? Why or what? Or how? You know, how it happened? Because it's hard to understand. And I think that's what makes it hard on, you know, the talent sometimes, is you really don't know.
It's real to us, whether we want to believe it or not.
Yeah.
It's a real sport to
100%.
Us because you have to sacrifice everything.
Yeah.
And then to make it work.
Right.
And they don't see that.
Right.
And unfortunately, there's this idea now that anybody off the street can just walk in with a pair of cutoff jeans and be arrested.
Right. Yeah.
Jesus.
I know how to do a power bomb.
Right.
But you don't know how to work.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know how to do magic. That's like, I can pull.
Yeah, magic.
I can pull a fake rabbit out of a hat. That doesn't make me a magician.
Right.
Hey, you want to impress me? Throw a punch at I believe.
Yeah. For real. Like, and that in itself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And sometimes.
Make me believe you're hurting somebody.
Yeah. Like, I believe I tricked Trevor into thinking that I threw such a soft punch that he didn't have to move from it.
So we did it. So we really caught one.
And unfortunately, the magic show was over when he went, what the f- was that? Mama, are you okay? Where his mother sitting at home in St. Louis goes, oh, so somebody hit me. What happened?
Right.
Like, you know?
She hit me right in the throat, bro.
Yeah.
God dang.
Do I owe you money? You know, I always loved that JBL story. First, he was in the ring with Taker. They're good buddies.
Yeah.
First time he hit Taker, Taker said, Jesus Christ. Do I owe you money?
Yeah.
Please stop. Like,
right.
Whatever
right.
I've done to offend.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Please stop. You know. Yeah. And on another, I think it was, I spot watch certain guys. But I was happy to see JBL back.
Yeah,
in the WWE.
I saw that.
I felt like it's just a better place with him in it. And this is a guy that I didn't always like or get along with. He called me Team Future Endeavors, and I wanted to beat his ass that night had to be talked out of it.
He was hard. He was a little bit hard. But I think he's a talented person for sure. Smart
no one gets heat like he does.
Yeah, yep, yep.
Absolutely. And I think part of him's different now.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, know. Yeah. I think he's look. I think
when
he looks back
at that level and in that company. You guys all know we were all different gentleman while we were working there. And once you get away, we all mature and grow up a little bit.
Absolutely. And I think too, you know, we're all very tired, right? You know, and we're on the road, as we said, all the time. And you know, and so it's, yeah, you sometimes you just, hey, I'm doing my job and that's it. And you know, I'm good. So,
you know, and sometimes you don't see how talented a guy is, because you just hear the noise in the writing room and you just believe what you hear.
Yeah.
And then he goes somewhere else and it just explodes. And you're like, I had no idea that you were this talented.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
because when you listen to a voice of one who decides one day that this guy sucks or isn't tough anymore.
Right.
That's it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so because we all work for the audience of one, whether you want to believe it or not, it's the audience of one.
Yep.
You know, and when the one is displeased, it doesn't matter what 30,000 fans are saying.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, and that's the raw honesty of the sport that we love. I mean, that's what it is you are one pair of eyes away from not working again.
Right.
Yep. You know, that's just the way it is, you know, and it's a, when you talk about it, that's why when my kids tell me they want to wrestle, I'm always like, ooh, you know, I would prefer
my boy's been bringing that up a little bit.
Yeah, oh, but hey, your son is already a grizzled vet. I mean, Trevor two times, Murdoch, like being on the road with Junior. I mean, he's grizzled. He's walking. He's calling everybody marks and stuff. And I said, hey, man, you want to come train? You want to come train with me? And he was like, yeah, I'm down. He oversleeps, and he's like, look, man, I was up all night with my dad driving on the road. I'm grizzled, tired, man. I couldn't make the gym, and I'm listening to him, and I'm sitting there with my mouth open going, are you kidding me? You're already grizzled? He even had to walk down in the thing. I was like, it was hard to, like, even chastise him.
I've been bringing that boy on the road for a while. I've been blessed to bring him on the road to some good companies, and NWA being my final stop is a good place. And he knows what to do and how to behave and how to respect you guys.
He's sitting in the back, and you know, he's picking up the trash and stuff, and I had to stop him. And I said, no. These guys can clean up after themselves. But thank you, you know, thank you. And then he'd sit there and be like, oh, man, that match was the and I'm like, okay, all right.
He knows, though.
Yeah,
he knows. And if he's talking to you like that, he looks at you like family because he knows better to say that. You know what I mean?
I mean, when I snatched him up at 74, his big-ass smile, I was like, oh, this was a waste of time.
And I have the picture. What's funny is my son is smiling at you big as day while my six-year-old sitting right next to him has got his head buried in his tablet, headphones on, to give a less than his brother's about to get thumped.
And I'm sitting there waiting to hear the crowd go, and Trevor fired up, but I had forgot I just bounced him off the floor, and he was trying to figure out where he was at. But it just goes, but like – it's cool that they get to experience that, you know, because I've done that with my kids. My daughters and my son have all gotten an opportunity to be backstage and to see what's going on and watch the matches. And when I won the television championship, they, you know, they got to hold the belt and take pictures with the belt and go home and tell everybody. You know, I remember my son, when I was dropping him off, he was like, hey, Dad, I'll hold that for you if you want. Yeah. And I was like, all right, I got you. And his uncle, who wrestles in New Japan, Tongaloa, and he's like 6'9", big kid, and he's over there in New Japan right now. He came walking over, and as he went to touch it, I slapped his hand. I said, bro, you got to get your own. Get your eyes off my championship. And he was, oh, come on. I'm like, no, come on, nothing. Get your own. Like, you know.
Make him hungry.
And I said, Siosi, he touches my belt, you let me know. He's like, all right, Dad. Keep your damn hands off my championship, you know. But you know, my daughter Nala was like holding that belt like it was like hers, you know. You see that, and it's like, because I sometimes I'll get asked, like, why still do it,
right?
You know, why still do it? And One, I'm not ready to give it up, and I don't feel I'm disgracing the sport to keep doing it. You know what I'm saying? I think
you're helping the sport.
Yeah, but I feel like I'm still at a high level and I'm getting better. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And yeah, but you know, and I had to dedicate myself to the gym and diet and all that stuff to maintain. You know, when I look at like what Chris Jericho is doing right now, who I honestly feel right now,
yeah,
is the GOAT in terms of like where he's at, the amount of bumps he's had, that he continues to improve and expand and make guys better. You can't make the argument. You can't, and with all due respect, he's not a Ric Flair situation. He's not someone that can't go anymore, who's just coming out for the feel-good moment. And then once the bell rings.
He has
rings,
made so many guys in that company.
Oh, yeah. I honestly believe AEW's in trouble if he's not there.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, he's very smart, right? He's extremely smart guy and knows the business, very creative. And does he everybody around him, you know, kind of gets over, does well. And has for a really long time. Yeah, I 100% agree.
I mean, if you look at him and Moxley's match, still one of my favorite of the year.
Yes.
But then you can make the argument him and Daniel Bryant was also pretty damn good. Yeah. Him and I always call him Cesaro, but him, and, you know what I'm saying? It's like the list.
Yeah.
And those guys are great in their own right, you know. And I think, you know, when in NWA, we have Tim Storm. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Who's in phenomenal shape, and don't get it twisted. He will wear your ass out in that ring, like in a second.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? And in all the same time being polite to you while he does it.
Right.
Which is which I think is worse.
Yeah, I think it's worse. Right.
When someone's telling like, oh, you're doing good,
and
he's whooping your ass, I feel like that's worse than trash talking.
The worst is you're breathing as heavy as possible, you're sweating, you look up at the guy, you've been there for 10 minutes, and he's not even broken a sweat.
No, and he drinks 2 liters of Pepsi or Coke before his match.
Yeah, and he's speaking very eloquently to you and whipping your ass at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah, and has the best hand in the business, bar none.
Best hand.
Yeah, I mean, for real, I'd be like, Brother Tim, what it is. I mean, he's darker than us.
Let's go back to NWA 73. He went out there, had a hardcore match first match of the show. 2 matches later, he's out there in his announcer's uniform with a towel just dabbing his forehead.
Yeah.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back.
And the other guy's in a bag of ice for the night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And he's what, 55 or 50, like however old he is, but like, or young he is, but. Yeah. No one questioned it. The man went through a table off of a ladder. And he's also like 260 pounds legitimately of muscle.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of weight. Then again, it was like one match after that.
But his
that,
age
like,
does not represent his skill.
No.
He can still go.
Yeah.
You know, and I think if you can, you should go as long as you can still go, as long as your peers don't have to carry you. And if I got into it, it will happen. It's going to happen to all of us, whether we like it or not. For Kevin, might even be sooner, like December 8th.
Is this a challenge?
We're in tentative discussions, and I got a call from Brian Myers the other night, and I know he's public enemy number one because he's Matt Cardona's buddy, and we're not even getting to Hard Knocks. We'll start talking about Hard Knocks next, Hard Times 3 next week, but, it looks like Kevin's been doing some secret training down there, and I was asked if I would be interested in wrestling him December 8th, and I said I would be more than happy to whoop Kevin's ass December 8th,
and I politely accepted.
Yeah, so, and he's like,
to this ass whipping that's about to happen.
And you know, Trevor, to Kevin's credit, he's blessing me and thanking me,
but I said, as
a cat playing with yarn, maybe you shouldn't thank me so much.
Yeah, bro.
Trevor will tell you as soon as the bell rings that friendship shit's out the window.
Yeah, it's all about business.
Yeah,
it's about your life. Bro.
Yeah, business is good.
Aaron
will tell you that. Right? Yeah, hey, you can sit at my table at Thanksgiving, but if a bell rings, you get.
I am honored, first of all, and thank you. And I'm gonna be a little bit different version of myself. I can't wait. Thank you so much. And I have been doing some training, and you know, to all of you out there that have kind of welcomed me back in a Ryan Parmeter down at the Wrestling Lab in Tampa, and Brian Myers, you know, last night at pro wrestling, his pro wrestling school. I'm very grateful and thank you. Create a pro wrestler. Creator Pro Wrestling. So yeah, thank you guys so much, and I'm really, really excited to get back out there.
Get him all shined up so he can get.
if you're in town, yeah. I'm actually going to be in New Jersey.
Okay,
it's December 3rd. It's actually Nova, Simon Dean, Mike Bucci. It's going to be his last match.
Okay. And, yeah, I'm so here, man.
It's going to be me, him, and Kazarian versus Cardona, Myers, and I believe Pat Buck.
Okay. Bro, I'm here.
Not sure.
Yeah, and I got an autograph signing in Queens, New York, on November 12th, and then I'm taking a flight that night to see y'all at Hard Times. So in Louisiana. So yeah, man, it's ramping up, and I'm really, really excited, and thank you.
Awesome.
Yep.
Hold it right there. We'll be back in a bit. Yeah, and then don't forget.
Yeah, and then, right.
Yeah. Yeah, you can thank December God 8th, and huh? all that shit, but December 8th, your ass belongs to me.
Okay. So. All right. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and then next week, we got to start talking about Hard Times. We got to start having the conversation again. I
mean, yeah. Are you scheduled for anything yet, Aaron? Since you're a managerial expertise.
You know, I'm going to be there. I have a couple things. You know, question mark number two is going to be taking on, a couple people, I think. And, you know, I'll be there. I will be there. And,
in some shape or form.
What's that?
In some shape or form.
Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to the outfit.
For the record, you are still retired from the ring, though.
I am retired. I have since moved on to managerial services.
Okay. So, all right. Well, good to know. Good to know. Yes. Right. All right.
Hey, I got a card, Kevin. I got a card.
Okay. Yeah, well, I got your number, bro.
You show up December 8th with Aaron. Okay.
Well, now we're talking.
You better book a nurse, too. Because I'm not listening to that heckling voice while I'm trying to work.
Yeah. I may bring back the megaphone. Who knows?
Oh, wow.
Oh, Jesus.
He's still using
December 8th, son. So how am I? I got to count down the days now.
Yeah, you better get to work.
I got it right. Now I got to put it in overdrive now.
You know, but wow. So, yeah, we got a lot of stuff going on, man. It's good. You know, and then, of course, when this airs, my live events will be done because this coming Friday I've got a stand-up show in North Carolina, and then I got a stand-up show in Washington right after it. So I'm like, boom, boom, boom. And then November 4th. I got my stand-up show in New Orleans. Nice. And then I got another one. I just can't stop.
Yo, I
got
you.
One in Cleveland. Medina, Ohio. And then I got one more, but December 12th. But that's in New Orleans at a different venue. So, you know, I'm just going all out. Going all in.
I heard you on Fox News say, I got 17 jobs.
Yeah, I got and 17 I said, jobs.
That may be the truth. I said, I need to get myself one then.
No, yeah. At least. No, you got to get, you know what? Yeah. You got to have those different, you know, that's the one thing when you meet great people or successful people. They have what they call multiple revenues of income coming in. And that was something that I never really got. And I was like, okay, so you got to make your own opportunities. You can't get one and be like, ha, I made it. And I think that I learned that quite honestly in the WWE. Right. Because when you get other things, like I got a commercial, I got a movie, and you get those different checks and stuff like that and action figures, you're like, and you're getting those on top of what you're getting when you're working. It's like, hey, that's the stuff that's how you get ahead.
Yeah.
One job, you know, I don't even care how successful it is. It's very difficult to get ahead. And when I mean get ahead means like all goes bad and you know that you got your bills paid for 3 months.
Right.
Like that. Yeah. But even that window, I mean, and then once you get to that level, you're like, you know what? I got to be able to where I could sit on my ass and do nothing for a year and have my bills paid.
Yeah.
So like that's the goals, like the goals that I'm set. It's not, you're not anticipating a firing. You're not anticipating like people start turning off their TVs, but you should be prepared for it.
Right.
Because that's the one thing about being let go by the WWE twice, that, you know, in the first time I was more prepared the first time because I had not had what I would consider major success. Right. But then the second time when you reach major success, you don't ever think even that it's going to happen to you. So you don't prepare for it. So you got to learn that horrible lesson of, wow, maybe I shouldn't have been out at the club every Wednesday night dropping money on, you know, and things like that and buying. So you like learn, you know, and if you can't learn from your mistakes, well, then you're in huge trouble because you just keep repeating yourself. So that multiple and every one of you, that should be your goal, you know, because the more checks you got coming in, the more the closer it is to getting to a day when you don't have to worry about that anymore. Because I don't want to see, and none of us want to see, one of us at 60 years old putting the gear on
and
going out, you know, and sitting there in an autograph signing and it's crickets.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I don't mean, but yeah, you're absolutely right.
Nobody wants to see that, you know? And we do, and when we see that, it breaks your heart, but it's so like, oh no, you don't want to catch it. Right. So it's like you almost act like they have a disease of some sort.
Right.
So you won't even go over to them and be like, hey, other than like, hey, how are you? But you won't want to sit next to them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and that sounds terrible, but it is. Yeah. It is exactly what it is because you're like, I don't want that mojo on me. And it's the same thing as when you never want to be the guy backstage trying to catch Triple H going, hey, boss, you got a second? You think I could get a dark match tonight?
Right,
because he's not there for you.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not there for you.
Yep.
You know, and maybe you catch him, you know?
No, I'm sorry. That's like a personal thing of mine. And with what you're saying, like real quick, I have a theory because as athletes, like the first part of our lives, we had to be so laser focused. It was literally the wiring of our brain and how our thought process just kind of would unfold was just, okay, like whether it was football, whether it was wrestling, right? Whatever we were doing is like, okay, this is what I'm training to do. And yeah, like I agree as we kind of, you know, get older and life unfolds, we need to have those multiple sources. And that's a lesson I learned later in life. But to also what you said with these conventions, there's a reason I don't do a lot of these conventions because I've never heard it put like that where you want to catch it like a disease. It is like there was just something that was very repelling to me when I would see a lot of these people, and it's sad. And I just, I don't know. I mean, in this day and age, you know, taking the quick money, if you need it, I'm not knocking you, but I just like, I almost have, and it has worked against me as you guys know at times, but this kind of overwhelming sense of pride. But I mean, I struggle with it sometimes, you know, cause if someone does throw a bunch of money at you, it's better to have it. But at the same time, it's like my own kind of personal sanity and where I want to be in life. It is not in line with that. Does that make sense?
No, 1,000%.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I think too, like, it's something that, you know, we all pray that we could do it forever. Right. I mean, it's a dream job but it is one of those things that you can. And I think, but we've done a good job of discussing and explaining that, you know, you got to have backup plans and you got to have other sources of income and you got to have grounding on one side so you can, you know, so you can perpetuate both of them, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's a great point. And, you know, with that, I guess we'll wrap it up for this round. And again, I, on behalf of all of us, you know, to the Kevin Nash and his family, our deepest sympathies and,
sending out so much love, man.
Yeah.
Amen.
And I'm just truly, truly sorry for your loss. And for more podcasts like this, just like this, you can check us out at foxnewspodcast.com. This has been The Wise Men. Enough said.
The Will Cain Show is now dropping 5 episodes a week. Join Fox and Friends weekend host Will Cain as he tackles the latest headlines from his unique perspective, along with thought-provoking interviews with leading figures and live calls from viewers and listeners. Listen wherever you download your favorite podcasts.